From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, in English program. Hopefully, you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news. I'm Duka Kusumawati. Let's begin with the national news. The Indonesian President Joko Widodo has targeted that the COVID-19 vaccination program can be carried out well in about 15 months. According to the plan, President Jokowi will also be the first to be vaccinated. During the handover of the land certificate for the people all over Indonesia at the State Palace on Tuesday, President Joko Widodo said that the vaccination is estimated to be completed in 3.5 years all over the world. But in Indonesia, it is expected to be finished in 15 months. Even though vaccination will start by next week, the president asked people to stay alert and follow health protocols by wearing masks, washing hands, avoiding crowds, and keeping the distance while waiting for the vaccination to be completed. The government will integrate several social assistance programs conducted by different ministries and institutions. National Development Planning Minister or National Development Planning Board Head Bappenas, Suharto Monoarfa, stated. After a limited meeting on reforming the social protection system led by President Joko Widodo at the presidential's office on Tuesday, he said that the board will rearrange and integrate various social assistance programs under sub-ministries and institutions and place the programs under a strategic program of social assistance. To make those forms of social assistance effective, Bappenas will evaluate validity of the programs at the ministries and institutions. The minister stated that Bappenas will redesign the social assistance program's integration by updating data. According to Monoarfa, digital-based data has a high accuracy. Bappenas realizes the need to work on some issues to bring about an improvement in terms of data, the accuracy of data on eligible receivers. Bappenas is targeted to finalize the draft on the integrated social assistance program in 2024. The North Sumatra Provincial's government plans to begin implementing the COVID-19 vaccination program from January 14, 2021, with priority accorded to healthcare workers. North Sumatra Governor Edi Rahmayadi announced at the North Sumatra COVID-19 Handling Task Force Command Post in Medan, North Sumatra on Tuesday, that the targeted vaccine recipients in the first stage of the program include 72,451 healthcare workers in 33 districts and cities of North Sumatra. The governor said healthcare workers on the front lines in the fight against COVID-19 will be given priority in the immunization drive. Meanwhile, Home Affairs Minister Tito Karnavian declared in Jakarta on Tuesday that the Indonesian government will provide the first symbolic dose of the COVID-19 vaccine to be led by President Joko Widodo on January 13, 2021. In spite of vaccine becoming available, the minister advised Indonesians to continue applying the 3M health protocols of wearing masks, washing hands, and practicing social distancing. Let's move on to the international news. Azerbaijani President Ilham Aliyev announced Tuesday that an international airport would be built in the Nagorno-Karabakh region, which his country fought over with neighbor Armenia for 6 weeks in fall. Aliyev added, "Its exact location has not been picked yet, but the runways are expected to become operational by the end of the year. The airfield will serve both Fuzuli and Karabakh's second largest city, Shushi. Aliyev said he had designated Shushi as the cultural capital of Azerbaijan. He said its religious and historical sites would be rebuilt. Armenia and Azerbaijan clashed over the disputed region in late September. Under a Russia-brokered truce, Azerbaijan was allowed to keep Shushi and other territories that it captured during the conflict. Medical units of Russian peacekeeping forces deployed in the region of Nagorno-Karabakh have already provided healthcare service to over 1,100 residents of the region, including 135 children, the Russian Foreign Ministry said on Tuesday. The ministry noted that over the past 24 hours, Russian medics provided healthcare service to over 50 residents of Nyi village, located in the eastern province of Martuni. On November 9, Armenia and Azerbaijan adopted a joint statement on the cessation of hostilities in disputed Nagorno-Karabakh. The agreement concerning Nagorno-Karabakh resulted in the loss of some territories controlled by the Armenian-majority self-proclaimed Republic of Artsakh and the deployment of 1,960 Russian peacekeepers to the region. In early December, medical units of Russian peacekeeping forces started to provide healthcare services to the residents of Nagorno-Karabakh. After 3 years of closing access to Qatar, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia officially reopened its borders. The decision of Saudi Arabia was taken at the Gulf Cooperation Council Summit on Tuesday in Al Ula, Saudi Arabia. The announcement of the reopening of the Saudi Arabia-Qatar border was delivered directly by Kuwaiti Foreign Minister Sheikh Ahmad Nasser Al Sabah. In June 2017, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and Egypt closed the border access of the sea, land, and air to Qatar. The decision was taken because these countries accused Qatar of supporting terrorism and had close relations with Iran and decided to cooperate in the economic sector and diplomatic relation. Kuwait itself is a country that plays an active role in mediating Qatar with the four Arab countries. Kiev has received from Tehran a draft technical report on the January 8, 2020 Ukrainian plane crash and has 60 days to provide feedback, Ukrainian Deputy Foreign Minister Yevheny Yenin said on Tuesday. On December 28, the Iranian Foreign Ministry said that Tehran had handed over the report to Kiev. Top Ukrainian diplomat Dmytro Kuleba, however, said on December 30 that the country was still waiting for the report. According to the official, Ukraine can offer its remarks and suggestions related to the report within the next 60 days, after which Iran will have another month to finalize the document. The report will be published only after approval by the International Civil Aviation Organization Council. The Kiev-bound Boeing 737-800 crashed almost immediately after takeoff from Tehran on January 8. All 176 people aboard were killed, including nationals of Ukraine, Iran, Afghanistan, Canada, Germany, Sweden, and the United Kingdom. 3 days later, Iran admitted that the jet had been mistakenly shot down by its armed forces, who confused it for a hostile cruise missile. Crash took place amid an escalating confrontation between Tehran and Washington following the U.S. killing of prominent Iranian military commander Qasem Soleimani in a targeted strike. Listener, that was the news. Entering the days at the beginning of 2021, the corona COVID-19 virus continues to spread. Governments whose countries have been hit by the pandemic are busy working hard to overcome it. Data from Worldometer show that throughout the world, there is still an increase in the spread of corona COVID-19 virus and the number of infected humans. The latest data from Wikipedia records that the number of infected victims has reached 86.2 million. 1.87 million died, and 48.4 million people were declared cured. Other data shows that the spread of COVID-19 virus of the African continent is recorded very little compared to Western European countries, Russia, the United States, Latin America, and Asia. Globally, the United States is the country with the highest positive confirmation of COVID-19, which has reached over 20.5 million people. In second place, India, with the infection rate reaching more than 10 million people. The third country that recorded the most cases of both infections and the increase per day is Brazil, followed by Russia and France. Compared to the population in the United States, India, Brazil, and Russia, France is actually a country in the Western European region which is badly hit. The continuing increase in the number of infected has prompted the concerned government to continue to work hard to overcome this global pandemic. Meanwhile, Britain, which is close to France, has returned to lockdown due to the discovery of a new virus variant, which is said to be spreading faster than COVID-19. It cannot be denied, the COVID-19 virus pandemic has had a very massive impact, especially economically. A large number of infected countries are now mobilizing their financial resources to tackle it. The amount spent on prevention, treatment, and the purchase of vaccine to prevent COVID-19 in 2021 is not small. Countries that can handle COVID-19 well can be said to be lucky. China, for example, was the first country hit by COVID-19. Now, despite still keeping its vigilance, the country is no longer as busy as other large countries that are ranked high in COVID-19 infection. China has even been able to not only produce vaccine, but also export them to various countries, including Indonesia. China's success is actually interesting to be used as a lesson in making policies in overcoming COVID-19. One of the most populous countries in the world, it can be said that China has been able to successfully overcome COVID-19, even rise economically, and produce vaccines that are used by other countries. That was commentary.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on January 6, 1919, when Theodore Roosevelt passed away. Theodore Roosevelt is the 26th U.S. president. He took office twice from 1901 to 1909. Before becoming a president, Roosevelt was the U.S. vice president under President William McKinley. He replaced William McKinley, who was assassinated. He became the youngest U.S. president at the age of 42. Moving on to an event on January 6, 1931, when Thomas Alva Edison applied for his last patent right. Thomas Alva Edison is an inventor and a businessman who developed many important devices. In 1870, he invented a better telegraph machine. In 1874, he also discovered a great scientific workshop for the first in the world. In 1877, he invented a gramophone, and in 1879, Edison managed to invent an electric lamp. He then invented a projector for small movies. In 1882, he installed electric lights in the streets and houses as far as 1 kilometer in New York City. This is the first time in the world of electric lights used on the streets. He held 1,093 patents in his own name. On January 6, 1931, just 2 days before his death, Thomas Edison applied for his last patent right, namely the electric coating process component. We end today in history with an event on January 6, 1978 about a demonstration to support Imam Khomeini. A massive demonstration broke out in various cities in Iran following an article which insulted Imam Khomeini published in Etelaat newspaper on January 6, 1978. The regime of Shah Pahlavi, who ruled in Iran at that time, published the article to remove people's love for Imam Khomeini. Conversely, Iranian people got enraged and held a massive demonstration. 1 year later, Islamic Revolution led by Imam Khomeini gained victory and Shah Pahlavi was toppled down. Well, listeners, that was today in history.
Dia berlalu meninggalkan semua hanya untuknya tiada kata berpisah bila harus berakhir segalanya.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is titled Indonesian Manufacturing PMI Keeps Expanding. The manufacturing industry activity in Indonesia performed well in the end of 2020 despite the pandemic. That was reflected on the Purchasing Managers Index or PMI of Indonesian manufacturing in December 2020, which was 51.3. It increased from 50.6 in the previous month. The index increase was supported by the new order growth, which resulted in solid expansion into the output. This increase was the second fastest according to the survey history in the last 10 years. That was according to the statement from Indonesian Industry Ministry website on Monday. In the statement, Industry Minister Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita thanked the industry players who kept trying maximally in optimizing their resources amid limitations. The minister affirmed the government is optimistic that all strategies and policies can use the economy recovery opportunity. This year, Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita predicted the industrial growth will be good. According to him, if the pandemic is controllable and economic activity has recovered, the manufacturing industry growth in 2021 is projected to grow by 3.95%. Responding to the PMI of Indonesian manufacturing in December 2020, Andrew Harker, the economic director of IHS Markit, said, "With the latest PMI data that increased in the two consecutive months, Indonesian companies in general were having positive end-of-year records in 2020. The data also showed a moderate increase in business condition and the highest in the 10 months. Andrew Harker said the road is still long, considering the bad disruption caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. However, producers at least still have faith in the 2021 prospect. Meanwhile, the head of Indonesian Chambers of Commerce and Industry, Rosan Peruslani, was optimistic that the economy recovery moment in 2021 will be better. It is reflected from the economic indicators that have shown some recovery. And listener, stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Sempat terbaca hatiku, malah terabai olehku. Lelahku sembunyi, tutupi maksud hati yang justru hidup karenamu. Dan bisa mati tanpamu.
Andai saja aku masih punya kesempatan kedua, pasti akan kuhapuskan lukamu, menjagamu, memberimu segenap cinta.
Ku sadari tak selayaknya selalu buatmu kecewa. Kau lebih pantas bahagia, bahagia karena cintaku.
Andai saja aku masih punya kesempatan kedua, pasti akan ku
aku. Nah, andai saja aku masih punya kesempatan kedua, pasti akan ku hapuskan luka mu.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, I'm going to introduce you a village in North Sumatra. Samosir Island in North Sumatra, which is geographically an island on an island, was formed due to volcanic activity. The island, which has an altitude of 1,000 meters above sea level, is currently attracting attention as a tourism destination for both domestic and foreign tourists. As one of the largest provinces in Indonesia, you can find a variety of tourism charms beginning from nature, culture, history, until special culinary. Each tourism spot has an interesting story and uniqueness to know. Legendary stories are another attraction. One of the exotic places that you can visit while in North Sumatra is a village, namely Bonan Dolok. Bonan Dolok village is located in Cianjur Mula Mula district, Samosir Regency. This village on the shores of Lake Toba has an extraordinary charm. This beautiful destination is similar to Pergasingan Hill in Lombok. Traditional houses, rice fields, and beautiful nature surrounded by green hills will be interesting scenery in this village. The rice fields here are very green and there is never a shortage of water, because the water from two waterfalls near this area always flows. The hills around this village are very comfortable to climb. From the top of the hill, you can watch a beautiful view around the village with Lake Toba that stretches out. Bonan Dolok village has three exotic waterfalls which are located close to each other. One of the three waterfalls, Sita Pigagan, is the most popular and frequently visited by tourists. Sita Pigagan waterfall has its own uniqueness. The water flows through the hillside with a slope of about 60 degrees and looks like a water slide. The water in Sita Pigagan waterfall is a bit dark red and many people think it's dirty. However, if the water is put into a container such as a glass bottle, the water is clear. The pool under this waterfall is only as high as an adult's chest. The place is so nice, beautiful, and natural. There are no facilities here yet. We recommend that you bring all the necessaries you need, including food and drinks. Next to Sita Pigagan waterfall, there is Ai Sibotar waterfall, which is also beautiful. Here you can also refresh yourself after a long trip to the village of Bonan Dolok. To get to the Sita Pigagan waterfall location, you can go through two roads. The first road is by boat from Panguruan Port to Bonan Dolok, which takes about 1 hour, and costs 300,000 rupiah. The second one is by motor vehicles, which take about 45 minutes. Nowadays, it is quite easy to find Bonan Dolok village, because there are many directions posted on the side of the road. To preserve the village of Bonan Dolok and several waterfalls in this area, the Indonesian government has inaugurated Bonan Dolok village as a tourism village in North Sumatra, so that the development of tourism destinations in the area and also the economic life of its people is helped through the tourism sector. Listener, keep listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. I'm Putri Safitriarela. See you next time.
Sejak kau ada di dunia, aku tak menyangka. Tapi aku percaya, dan waktu terus berlalu, kau buat semuanya. Kulihat keajaiban, oh yeah. Kau jatuh dari surga, kau jatuh dari surga, kau malaikat yang tak bersayap. Surga, yeah.
mencegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo防ぎましょう. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zheng que pei tai kou zhao, yi fang chi xin xing guang zhuang bing du fei yan de chuan bo. Wo de kou zhao bao hu ni, yi de kou zhao bao hu wo.
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overdragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Indonesian, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Bagaimana keadaanmu, which means how are you? Listen to this conversation about bagaimana keadaanmu, which means how are you? Kevin is sick. He did not go to college for 3 days. Kevin's classmates come to visit Kevin, bringing him fruit and praying for his speedy recovery.
Hai Kevin, bagaimana keadaanmu?
Aku sudah lebih sehat daripada sebelumnya.
Kami datang menjenguk karena khawatir kepadamu.
Aku sangat senang kalian di sini.
Ini kami bawakan apel dan jeruk untukmu.
Wah, terima kasih. Tidak perlu repot, teman-teman.
Tidak sama sekali.
Silakan duduk dulu.
Kamu lanjut istirahat saja. Kami harus pamit.
Terima kasih sudah datang menjengukku.
Sama-sama.
Now I'm going to introduce some vocabularies and expressions related to the topic today. I'm going to say each word 2 times and you can follow after me. Bagaimana keadaanmu? Bagaimana keadaanmu? Which means, how are you? Aku sudah lebih sehat daripada sebelumnya. Aku sudah lebih sehat daripada sebelumnya. Which means, I feel better than before. Kami datang menjenguk. Kami datang menjenguk. Which means, we come to visit you. Kami khawatir padamu. Kami khawatir padamu. We are worried about you. Kami bawakan apel dan jeruk untukmu. Kami bawakan apel dan jeruk untukmu. which means we bring you apples and oranges. Tidak perlu repot-repot, tidak perlu repot-repot, which means no need to bother. Kamu lanjut istirahat saja, kamu lanjut istirahat saja, which means you just take rest again. Kami harus pamit, kami harus pamit, which means we have to go. Terima kasih sudah menjengukku, terima kasih sudah menjengukku, which means thank you for visiting me. In the dialogue, there is a sentence, aku sudah lebih sehat daripada sebelumnya. Aku sudah lebih sehat daripada sebelumnya. Which means, I feel better than before. The form feel better than before is a comparative form to compare two things. In the dialogue, Kevin compares his condition before and after sickness. For example, mangga ini lebih besar daripada mangga milikmu. Mangga ini lebih besar daripada mangga milikmu, which means this mango is bigger than yours. Tas ini lebih bagus daripada tas sebelumnya. Tas ini lebih bagus daripada tas sebelumnya, which means this bag is better than the old one. Besides using lebih daripada, which means more than, the comparative sentence can also use kurang daripada, which means less than. For example, wah, tasmu baru. Wah, tasmu baru. Which means, wow, your bag is new. Iya, tas ini lebih bagus daripada tas sebelumnya. Iya, tas ini lebih bagus daripada tas sebelumnya. Which means, yes, this bag is better than the old one. Rio, ini makananmu. Rio, ini makananmu. Which means, Rio, here is your food. Wah, makanan kurang banyak daripada sebelumnya. Wah, makanannya kurang banyak daripada sebelumnya. Which means, this food portion is less bigger than before. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Hai Kevin, bagaimana keadaanmu?
Aku sudah lebih sehat daripada sebelumnya.
Kami datang menjenguk karena khawatir kepadamu.
Aku sangat senang kalian di sini.
Ini kami bawakan apel dan jeruk untukmu.
Wah, terima kasih. Tidak perlu repot, teman-teman.
Tidak sama sekali.
Silakan duduk dulu.
Kamu lanjut istirahat saja. Kami harus pamit.
Terima kasih sudah datang menjengukku.
Sama-sama.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Indonesian, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. I'm Rahma, sampai jumpa!
Oleh waktu hanya untuk
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, I'm Rahma. In today's Music Corner, I'm going to present a song from West Java entitled Tanah Sunda. The song Tanah Sunda was composed by Koko Koswara. The song lyrics of Tanah Sunda tell that Sundaland, which is located in West Java, is prosperous, lush, and beautiful. So many people enjoy coming over there. The song Tanah Sunda also has a message for Sundanese people, namely a tribe from West Java, to keep their region. They are expected to be a role model, cultivating the wealth of Sundanese land carefully and working together continuously, so that the dignity of Sundanese and even Indonesian people is well maintained. Well, listener, here is the song Tanah Sunda by Ida Rosida and Tajudin Nirwan. Happy listening.
Thank you. Voice of Indonesia.
Our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.